Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
So if you have your Bibles, let's go to the Genesis chapter 1. And as you are preparing for the word of the Lord, last night we had a men's beast feast. It was a great time. Johnny and his team did a stellar job. I appreciate those guys. Thank them for all they have done. We just had a wonderful time. And so I told the guys last night at the beast feast, I said, look, guys, tomorrow's Father's Day. That means no tie and you can wear jeans. So this morning I put jeans on with this right here. And I went in and I said, Trey, how do I look? And after about five different faces, I got it. Then he said, oh, you look fine. And I was like, okay, thank you. So I went back and I put these pants on instead of jeans. So I'm going to have to go to the mall and find me something that I can wear with some jeans. So you guys, I wasn't lying. I meant to and I had them on, but Trey said no. So there you have it. Hey, I just read a little humor. I thought it was cute. There's this little girl and she was sitting in her grandfather's lap. And as he read her a story, and from time to time, she would take her eyes off the book and she would just reach up and touch his wrinkled cheek, and she'd touch his cheek, and then she'd touch hers, and then she would touch his again. And finally, she spoke up, and she said, Grandpa, did God make you? He said, yes, sweetheart. God made me a long time ago. She said, well, did God make me? And he said, yeah, he made you a short time ago. And she said, okay. So she felt her face again, then she felt her face, and then she said, you know, I think God's getting better at this now, isn't he? That's kind of how Trey and Molly feel about me. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You know, when I come and I give a word to this assembly, I can't do what I don't feel. I have to do what's in my spirit. So this may be a little different on Father's Day, but it's in my spirit. And so you would rather me give you what's authentic to me than try to fake it. So do you have 30 minutes for me? I promise you, I will be mindful of the time because I know I'm the only thing between you and your family and a chicken dinner. So I'm going to be mindful of that. Would you just ask the Lord to help us? Father, for the next 30 minutes, would you just bring all of us? I know our bodies are here, but would you bring our mind and our spirit here so that we, Lord, could receive your word and that it would add value to our life? Thank you for all of our fathers, all of their support, their love, their care, their kindness, their example, all that they do, Lord, on a daily and weekly basis. I appreciate these wonderful men as they support their families and the kingdom of God. May this just be a great day that they have with their children, with their grandchildren, with their families. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. When God made man, the first thing that he gave him was his image and his likeness. In other words, your maker is your mirror. Now, that didn't originate with me, but it resonates deeply with me. I wish I'd have thought of it. But I want you to say this with me. Your maker is your mirror. See, we are a mirror image of God. How do you get that, Pastor? Because Genesis 1 and 26 says that we were made in his image and in his likeness. I'm going to show you a scripture. It's found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. I've been pondering this, meditating upon this scripture. I do not have time to really go into it in depth, the entire scripture. I want to take the very last sentence and talk about it for just a minute. But the scripture says this: love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That's a whole Bible study within itself. But look at this last sentence: as he is, so are we in this world. Now that's pretty profound, but what that really gets to is that as spirit-filled men and women, we are living the likeness of Christ. Our maker is our mirror. Put that scripture back up again, please. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say as he was in his earthly life. It doesn't say so we may be. It doesn't say so we should be. It doesn't even say so we shall be. But it says as he is, so are we. Notice, it doesn't say as he was walking in his earthly life, even though he had dominion in his earthly life, he had dominion through humility, but it says as he is in his heavenly life, reigning in his heavenly life and with glory, as he is, so are we. Now that's kind of hard to wrap your mind around that, isn't it? But this is how God sees us. Our maker is our mirror. And God walked in the earth through his flesh, but he lived in dominion in the earth through his spirit. So though he was in the world, he was not of the world. Now I want you to catch this. In other words, brothers and sisters, to the degree that we think, believe, and act like who we are in our spirit man, to that degree, we will experience the life of Christ in our flesh as well. Say, what does that mean? Well, your body is going to be changed. Your body, when you receive the Spirit of Christ, your body didn't change. Your mind at that moment didn't change. In other words, when you got the Spirit of Christ, if you were bad at math and you got the Spirit of Christ, nothing about your body changed and you were still bad at math. Right? If you were not a good carpenter before you came to know the Lord, all of a sudden you didn't become a good one. You're still a bad one. Right? Nothing changed in your body. And at that very moment, nothing even changed in your mind. So what changed? Your spirit. Am I making sense? See, we think that God looks at us on our flesh. And when we think that way, then we see the warts, we see the imperfections, we see the balding. If you're young, you see the zits. We see the bulges. God doesn't look on the outward appearance. He's not looking at that. The scripture tells us that he doesn't in the book of Samuel. So what is he looking at? He's looking at your sanctified spirit. The spirit of Christ that he placed in you when you were born again. And when Jesus came to this earth, his flesh did not dominate or have dominion, so to speak. But what did have dominion was his spirit. He had dominion in his spirit, and as he is, so are we. We are a mirror of our maker. Don't just look at yourself in the mirror and say, man, I'm getting older. I'm aging. I'm getting wrinkles. And yes, we are in our flesh, but our spirit never deteriorates. Are you with me? The way God sees you, brothers and sisters, is not through your sin. It's not through your flesh. It's not through your weakness. It's not by what you haven't done. As a born again believer, God sees Christ in you. And just as he made Adam and Eve to have dominion upon the earth, that's what he wants for all of us. Can I get a witness? See, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the first thing that they lost that relationship with their heavenly Father. Do you agree? That's what they lost. But the second thing that they lost was their dominion upon the earth. Who got that? Satan came in and deceived Eve, stole that authority and dominion that Christ had given them, and he took it. So here now, Christ, he responds, or God responds in Genesis chapter 3. And I want to just highlight that. In Genesis 3 and 15, God responds to Adam and Eve's loss of the kingdom and dominion. And this is what he tells Satan. God speaks to Satan and he tells him, Satan, because you have done this. Done what? Stolen the authority and dominion that Christ gave to Adam and to Eve in the garden. Because you have done this, God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and his seed will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? It simply means that Jesus was the seed of a woman named Mary. And Jesus would break the power of the adversary and restore dominion and authority in the earthly kingdom. We could go to the book of Corinthians, and Corinthians talks about the first Adam, which was Adam, and it talks to us about the second Adam, which was Christ. What did the second Adam do? The second Adam came to restore what the first Adam lost. What did the first Adam lose? He lost authority and dominion. So Christ came to restore what man had lost. Am I making sense? Have you ever looked at a child's picture book? And in that picture book, there's illustrations, right? There's drawings, pictures of what it says in the book, illustrating it. How many know what I'm talking about? We like looking at the pictures, don't we? What Jesus basically did was he took his life and he gave us pictures of his life to illustrate his word. In other words, look at these pictures and it's going to illustrate my word. What you see in me is what I want to see in you. Did that make sense? So now what did Jesus do when he came to earth? Not in his flesh, but in his spirit, he dominated. He had dominion. You say, of what? He had dominion over sin. He had dominion over sickness, over disease. He had dominion even over death. He called Lazarus out of the grave. He had dominion even over the storms. He said, peace be still. He had dominion where he could sit people down and break bread and feed a multitude. Through his spirit, he had complete authority and dominion. I know that it's hard for us to grasp this, But that is exactly the reason why Jesus came and went to a cross, is so that the last Adam could restore what the first Adam lost. God is not just interested, brothers and sisters, in taking us all to heaven. When we get to church and we get Christians and we get saved, man, we start thinking about, oh, I want to see him, the look on his face. And yes, I want to see Jesus, absolutely. But we start talking about heaven and we start saying things like, man, I can't wait till Jesus comes. I'm so ready for Jesus to get me out of this, oh, sin-sick world. And I totally understand what you're saying. But brothers and sisters, here's the facts. That if God was so concerned about getting you to heaven, when you got saved, he would have knocked you out and took you to heaven. So why are we still here? Because he wants our life to be the illustration. He wants us to be, as Paul said, ambassadors, representation of him. What did he do in the earth? He dominated in the earth over sin, over sickness, over disease. We are a mirror of our maker. As he is, so are we in the world. Not going to be, not shall be. I understand we're in a process of sanctification. Yes, we have been made justified by the blood of the Lamb. And once we are saved, now we're on this process of sanctification, of becoming more and more like him. I get that. But the way Jesus sees you, brothers and sisters, is not the way you see yourself. He sees you as complete in him. He sees you as a priest and as a king, ruling and reigning with authority and with dominion. Notice what the word says when Jesus prayed. And by the way, what is prayer? Why did God have to pray? Because God gave man authority in the earth. He gave him dominion. Notice what it says. He says in Genesis 1 and 26, let us make man in our image. Then he said, let them have dominion. When he said, let them have dominion, that was a big deal. You say, why? Because God says this, basically, I am the king of heaven, and heaven is where I rule. But man, I'm going to let you rule upon the earth. And the earth is going to be where you're going to be a king and where you're going to have dominion. You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. Okay. Well, look at Psalm chapter 115 and verse 16. Here's what it says, and it's coming up on the screen. It says, the heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's. Sister Madeline, can you help me? Because I need to prove this point. The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but say this with me. Well, thank you. I got five people out of almost 400. That is awesome. Let's try that again. Last sentence, but the earth. That needs to sink in. What? But the earth he has. So where does God rule? Heaven. Where is man supposed to rule? Earth. What happened? Satan stole it. Why did Jesus come back? To restore it. What did Jesus do? He gave us an example of how he wanted us to have dominion in the earth by his life. So he said, peace be still. Lazarus, come out of the grave. Sickness, be gone. Deaf ears, unstopped. You say, can I do that? You don't think you can. Because you don't really understand that you are a mirror of your maker. And as he is, so are we. not going to be, not hope to be, not shall be, not maybe be, we are. Because he sees us through our sanctified spirit, and the very spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling on the inside of you. Come on, somebody, give God some praise this morning. So the principal purpose of the Messiah was not to get us, brothers and sisters, into heaven. His primary focus was to reestablish his kingdom upon the earth. Is this making sense? This is why Jesus prayed. Why is prayer important? Because prayer is important because when you pray, you are inviting God to intervene in the earth. Because he's king of the earth, but you're king of, he's king of heaven, but you're king of the earth. And when you pray, you're inviting him to intervene in the affairs of earth. You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. In the gospel, Jesus prayed, and this is what he said. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. King James Version, in earth. What are you made of? Think about it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. It don't say on earth. New King James Version does, but the King James Version says in earth. In earth. You and I are earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What's in heaven? No sickness, no sin, no disease, no poverty, no death, no dying. You say, you don't think we should die? Yes, we're going to die, but when you die, that's not going to be the end of you. It's going to be the end of your body, but not the end of you if you're born again, because Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. So when you take your last breath of this air, you're going to take your first breath of celestial air. Am I making sense? See, that's how Jesus sees you. As he is, so are we. He wants you to understand, brothers and sisters, that you shouldn't just be munching out your days, waiting for Jesus to come, singing, oh, I want to see him. Nothing wrong with that song. I do too. But God's main purpose is not to get you into heaven. That's going to be easy if you're born again. His main purpose is to help you to realize that while you're upon the earth, we are to be showing the world what it looks like to dominate over sin, sickness, disease, poverty. Come on, somebody, give God some praise in this house. Not only did he dominate and have dominion over that, but guess what? He had dominion over fear and worry and doubt and unbelief. He wanted the earth to get a taste of what heaven looked like. So he was the illustration of his word. He was showing us in pictures by his life. This is what heaven looks like upon the earth. Does that make sense? You are a mirror of your maker. I want you to just blow somebody's mind and tell them this. You look just like Jesus. Oh, I know that's going to blow their mind. Huh. See, you're laughing. You know why you're laughing? Because you don't think Jesus looks anything like you. Because this is what you're looking at. But if somehow we could see into the spirit, we could see Jesus on the inside, working on the outside, getting us to become more and more like him in the earth. Does that make sense? I'm going to wrap up with this and then we'll be done. I want you to look now just in your mind, look at the parable of the prodigal son. This young son, he took his father's inheritance. I'm going to just give you a paraphrase. He takes his inheritance and he goes and he spends it on parties and women and just having just a wild time. He wasted. Later on, this prodigal son becomes destitute. He becomes hungry, and he finds himself not even being able to eat what the pigs are eating. So the Bible says this, that he comes to himself, and this is what he says. You know what? Man, I'll just go back to my father's house, and at least when I get to my father's house, I'll just make a good servant. I'll be a good servant. So that's what he does. He gets out of the pig pen, comes back to the father's house. The father sees him, and guess what? The father wanted his son back. He wasn't looking at him as a servant. He was looking at him as a son. Now, why did this young man see himself as a servant? Because of where he'd been? Because of what he had done? Am I making sense? Sin now, because of the sin that he had committed and been a part of, now marred his image. He no longer saw himself as a son. He saw himself full of shame and condemnation and guilt. And man, I can't believe that I have just messed up my family's name, and look at what I have done. And because of all that, now he's not seeing himself as a son. He's in his mind, he's seeing himself as a servant. He said, I'll just come back and be a servant. But notice what the father did. When the father came out, he put a ring on his finger. Back in that day, a ring was a sign of authority. That whatever I have, you have. Whatever is mine is yours. Because the father was not looking at him through his eyes as a son. He was looking at him through the father's eyes. Hey, it doesn't matter what you've done. I'm not going to welcome a servant back. I'm going to welcome a son back. God, brothers and sisters, God does not see us the way we see ourselves. And the reason why the enemy tries to come in and say, you know what, man, you should do this. This is going to be a good time. This is going to be a great time if you do this, is because he's wanting the image of God to be distorted in every one of us. He doesn't want you to see yourself as a son. He wants you to see yourself as a servant. Look where I've been. Look what I've done. Look who I did it with. Look how long I did it. And that did not make any difference to the father. I want to speak to someone. The father wants his sons back. He's not looking for servants. You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. Okay. Well, let me just read something to you real quick. Jesus says this, I no longer call you servants. Because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That is in John 15 and 15. Jesus is saying, I'm not calling you servants. I'm even going beyond maybe even a son. I'm going to call you a friend. Why? Because God wants you to understand that as he is, so are we. We have dominion in this earth. Can I get an amen? Somebody give God some praise right now. So his word says he made known to us. What did he make known to us? He made known to us his word. He made known to us his will, his ways. He showed us, brothers and sisters, how to have dominion in the earth. Give me a couple of more minutes. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they did not lose heaven. They lost dominion. And Satan told Eve her eyes would be open and she would become like God. And the deal was she was already like God. because she was made in his image. And the enemy deceived Eve. And here's what sin does. It distorts the way we see ourselves. And guess what? Because of that, we start seeing ourselves as beggars instead of believers. We start seeing ourselves as servants. And don't misconstrue what I'm saying. We are to serve the body of Christ with our gifts and abilities. Yes, as Jesus served. But we are not servants. We are sons. We are not here to beg God. We are here to believe God. And the deal is when sin, when we get that image, we lose, brothers and sisters, the image of God in us. And now we start thinking that we're losers instead of winners. And we start seeing ourselves as subjects instead of sons. And we have been so conditioned by our past and our culture and our environment that we lose sight of who we are. Here's what blows my mind, brothers and sisters. Follow this thought and I'll be done. The Bible tells us that Jesus was a carpenter, right? And follow this just a second. If Jesus had ever built a table and somehow, some way, we could totally authenticate that this is a table that Jesus actually built with his hands, do you think that that would be valuable? Just be honest. Do you think that someone, a very wealthy person, if a very wealthy person has paid $48 million for a Van Gogh picture, do you think somebody would be willing to pay millions of dollars for a table that had been authenticated without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus made it? It's pretty safe to say. And don't you think that if they had that table, if they had it in their house, everybody that came in, what do you think would be one of the first pieces they would show? This table is 100% authenticated that it was made by Jesus. That would blow your mind. It would probably realistically need to be in a museum and millions of people would probably come see it. Do you agree? Now, here's the deal. We would pay $1 million, someone would, that had that kind of money, to get that table because it was made by Jesus. Do you agree? And yet we've been made in his image and we think we're worthless. We would pay no telling what and travel to go see this table that the hands of Jesus made. And yet we are made in his image and in his likeness. And he gave us dominion. We reign, as Paul said, as kings and priests and ambassadors on the earth. And when we see ourselves as nothing, servants, what we did back there. And God is saying, I want my sons back. I want you to understand that your maker is your mirror. And when you look at him, you see a reflection of you. Come on, somebody, stand and give God some praise in this house. Put your hands together and let's give God praise. So guess what we do? Instead of sitting at the table, we're content with eating in the servants' quarters because that's what we believe we're entitled to. And yet our attitude should be that no matter where we are right now, no matter what our current position is, your condition does not determine your position. I wish I had time because I promise you I could go an hour without notes. Your condition does not determine your position. You say, Pastor, I got here today in a Bondo buggy. You don't even realize I'm one step away from living in a tent. It's See, what you don't understand is your condition does not determine your position. Because the word says, I'm seated with Christ. He sees me as a son. Regardless of what your condition is, my position is, my maker is my mirror. So he wants me to walk in dominion as he walked. Y'all got two more minutes for me? See, here's the problem. This kingdom of God is an inverted kingdom. Get this, and I promise you I'll let you go. This is an inverted kingdom. See, the world says in order for you to lead, you scratch, you claw, you do whatever you got to do to get to the top and you be the leader. In this kingdom, he says, if you want to lead, you got to serve. See, in the world, it says that if you want to get, you just hoard everything. The more you get, you just hoard it. But in this kingdom, if you want to receive, you give. See, man says, I want to dominate you. I want to control you. I'm going to show you who's boss. When I'm speaking of dominion, I'm never speaking of dominion in the fact that God ever authorized one man to dominate another. That's not what I'm referring to. In this kingdom, domination comes through surrender. Not my will, but thy will be done. And so how he walked in dominion was not bowing up his chest and saying, I have authority over you. Watch this. Mm-mm. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. And I only say what my Father tells me to say. How could he have complete dominion in the earth? Because he walked in total surrender. And until you get that, we think, oh man, I'm going to show you that I'm the stuff. That was never the attitude of Christ. His attitude was, Father, you lead me today. You know why? You know why everything that Jesus touched worked? You know why? Because he knew the will of the Father. I believe with all my heart, there were probably some people that Jesus didn't heal. Not because he couldn't, but he didn't. For whatever reason, they wasn't ready. But every person he did touch. Why? Because he totally had dominion. Because he surrendered himself every day to the Father's will. Does that make sense? Now, this is why that it's difficult many times for us, because we don't want anyone to have authority over us. But the only way in this kingdom that you're going to walk in dominion is to be submitted to him. And when you do, there's nothing, brothers and sisters, nothing that can hold you back. The Father wants his sons back. He wants a church. He wants a church that reflects him and what he did in the earth. That's what he's looking for in his church. He wants the world to look at us and say, man, how is that even possible? And we say, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. It's him in us. Father, I thank you for this great congregation. I thank you for your word. For it is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And God, I pray today that someone that is just really, the enemy's beating them up and getting them to look in the mirror and see all the things that they're not and all the things they haven't done and all the things they should have been but were not. I pray, Lord, that you give us a revelation that how you see us is so different than the way we see ourselves. You see us that as you are, so are we in this world. I pray for revelation to happen this morning, and I pray for the seed of this word to lodge deep in our hearts so that in days to come we may bear the fruit of it in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Turn around and give some love away and tell them you look like Jesus.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.